Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. We're at ML Rose in Inglewood. Joe is looking up where he can get crackle.
I am.
So many jokes, but I'm just going to let it go. Excited to be here on this Halloween. Let's bring in one of a scary wide receiver back in the day for Ohio State and the Titans. Chris Sanders is on the line with us. Also assistant coach at Montgomery Bell Academy.
Yes,
Chris,
sir.
What's up? How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Does Joe have on his mask, or is he playing himself?
Chris, if you could see him right now, you would run and hide. He is he's Mrs. Roper from Three's Company.
Oh, Mrs. Roper?
Yeah. Or
why can't he be Mr. Furley? Why can't he be Mr. Furley?
That would be a good one, but I don't have a members-only jacket. Also, I could look like Bobby Boucher's mom, so I'll take you the one.
Wow. No, I like it, man. I like it.
It is a good one for sure. So we'll start with this.
Yes,
our question of the day is the scariest athlete of all time. Who was a scary athlete that you went up against?
Greg Lloyd. Oh, my gosh. Hey, well, I played against him my rookie season, and I ran like a little shallow cross, and he almost knocked my spleen out. And as I'm laying on the ground, I lift my hand up for him to help me up, and he swats it and starts cussing me out. So I'm like, dude, can I get a little bit of help? I was going to write him a note and tell him I'm sorry and I'll never come into your area again. I mean, that's how hard he hit me.
Greg Lloyd from the Steelers. Doesn't his son play or did play?
I think I'm not sure.
Yeah. He did.
And also, he's a black belt in karate, so I'm not going to fight him.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't fight him. Going into this weekend, you know, the trade deadline's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I mean, how tough is that? And I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where there's just like a lot of uncertainty in the locker room. You already know the coach has been fired, so the staff's going to change. There's going to be a lot of changes in the offseason. But approaching this trade deadline, what's it like on the Friday before?
You know, it's a little tough because it's the uncertainty that knowing if you're going to be here or not. But it's funny because the locker room, you know, 2 weeks before, and everybody's kind of laughing and joking and kind of having fun. But when that date gets closer and closer, guys are more quiet and more focused because nobody knows who's going to get traded or not. So as a professional, I just had to handle it like I was staying there the whole time. I would go out and practice, go to meetings, make sure I was there on time, and just did what I can control. And if you can't control it and you get traded, then – it just is what it is.
Talking to Chris Sanders this afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
Hey,
listen, I'll be at the game tonight. I'm working for Fox 17. So I'll be at the NBA
this time, man?
Innsworth game. What's that?
Are you gonna say something to me this time? I waved to you last time. You kind of shoved me out the way.
Last time you had your goons toss me to the ground. So don't even talk about that. No, it should be – look.
Yeah.
I mean, excited. Friday, you're a high school football coach. I mean, this is the last game, regular season of the year.
Ooh.
I mean, it's butterflies, excitement, right? You get all that tonight like you're playing the game.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun because, you know, NBA and Israel don't like each other. You got to understand that the Hasselbacks over there. So I love them as people, but they want to kick our butt and we want to kick their butt. So it's a lot of stuff that goes into this rivalry with Israel. They have a great team, great coaching staff. But, man, I wish I could put on these cleats and put on these shoulder pads and put in this mouth guard just one more time to get after it.
Right? I think they should. Here's what they do, Chris. I think the NFL should do this. You should bid on getting one chance to run down the field on you can't do kickoff anymore, but on a punt team, had the highest bidder. I guarantee you there's some guy out there that'd pay $10 million to get on a punt team just one time.
I would love to, but if you had some older guys like me, you'd have to have 911, you'd have an oxygen tank. I wouldn't finish it because my hamstring would pop, so it wouldn't work. But, yeah, man, it's just – you made a great point that – just the feeling of Fridays, the feeling of Sundays that actually get a chance to play football. And sometimes when we're in the thick of it, we're like, oh, I don't want to practice and I don't want to do this and do that. But when it's gone, man, I wish I could just run one more play, one more hitch route, one bubble route, one go route, because you love the feeling of catching a pass and just playing football.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about the Titans now. Cam Ward and those two good receivers you got over there and the good tight end, all the rookies over there. Is there a tendency when you're 1-7 and you don't like the play call to go rogue? I don't think it's good to go rogue because like, that play sucks. So how do you stop these young guys who feel like, man, they don't know what they're talking about going rogue? Because I could see it beginning a little bit because his team is so bad.
Okay, here's the thing. You gotta understand who you are. Cam Ward can get away with it. DK can't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You just got to understand who you are because, you know, just like that fourth down play that we saw last week that everybody wanted to go for and he was yelling at the coach, DK and Alec Alluminer, they can't do that. I mean, they can't yell at the coach and say, we need to go for it on fourth down. You just got to understand who you are. And I think with Cam Ward, even though he didn't like the play call or even though he didn't like that they didn't go for it on fourth down, it was yelling at him to go for it, not out of disrespect.
Who, you know, it's funny, we talk about these coaches aren't going to be here come January because whole new regime comes in. You still hope, though, they're getting coached up, right? I mean, it's fine line right here.
Yeah, they are because you can look at, you know, DK and Alec. Those guys are finely tuned wide receivers. I think they run some good routes because I actually watched them in practice, you know, about 6 or 7 weeks ago. I watched how they run routes. They understand the technique. So I think in that position, they're getting coached up well. And at the end of the day, when they're bringing different coaches in, they're going to bring their technique in. So, you know, they're getting some good coaching, but at the end of the day, they got to take what they learn and take the good and the bad with it and just go forward from there.
I don't know if you saw it last night, but the Miami Dolphins ran a play on the goal line. They ran a fade route to the back of the end zone with their 5'10" running back against a 6'4" defensive back. Why do you guys call that play? Why?
I would have never
called that play.
Why would you do that? It's kind of like you lining up flanked outside and you running a go route. It's not going to work. I mean, you're going to get jammed at the line of scrimmage. I mean, why are you? You know, I think they were just trying to outsmart somebody, but how are you going to outsmart somebody when you have a 5'10 running back and a 6'4 corner? I mean, you're trying to look for matchups, which is great, but 9 times out of 10, a running back's not going to win a jump ball on the fade when you're 5'10.
Right. How much press coverage do they play in high school? Because I don't know. I'd like to know how much they play.
None. I mean, there's some teams that have great athletes, like Innsworth have good athletes, Baylor has great athletes, and Macaulay has great athletes because they can come up and press. But when I was in high school, I never heard of press coverage. All I knew was cover three and cover two, open over the fields, open a one safety high. That's all that I knew. So when I got to college, when somebody pressed, I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, why is this dude on me like this? I mean, because I never experienced that. So I think it's really in tune that kids at a young age understand all the coverages, cover one, cover zero, all those things where it's pressed. So now when they get to the next league, they understand how to get the guy off the spot. They understand how to stack him. They understand how to win with your eyes. But if you've never been pressed at the line of scrimmage and you get to college, you're going to be like me, like, what is going on here? So I had to learn that and adapt to what press coverage was.
Chris Sanders is with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show. I want to go back to some high school football for a second.
Yes.
Do the kids you coach realize – how lucky they are to have you as a coach is to have, and I mean that as somebody that you know cares about them, but somebody that played in the National Football League, somebody that played in the Big Ten. Yeah. Like, do they recognize the teaching that they're getting from you?
They do, and I appreciate that compliment, Chase. That what you said means a lot to me, and they do recognize that. Sometimes they go back and watch my film, but they're going to listen because I've been there. I've been in the college. I've been in the pros. I understand the technique. I understand how to win the line of scrimmage. And it's funny because there's a receiver that I coach now. His name is Carter. And this is so beautiful. He's consistently talking to me. He's consistently saying, hey, coach, what about if he leverage here? What about this? What do I do with my eyes? How do I handle this? And I'm just like, man, he's soaking it all up. So everything that Les Steckel taught me, I get to teach him, and then I get to watch him develop into a great receiver. That's why I love coaching right there, because you're developing kids. You're taking the DNA that you have in you, and you're injecting it into them, and you're watching everything that you was taught, and they're doing the same thing. It's a beautiful sight to see, man.
Will you please explain, and I know the answer, Chase knows the answer, but a lot of people don't, the difference between track speed and football speed.
Yeah, it is. See, the thing about track speed is you can run fast straight, but you can't run fast with your pads on. You can't get out of your cut. It's just like Nehemiah. I forgot Nehemiah. He was a big-time hurdler that went to the
Olympics. Yeah, Reinaldo Nehemiah, yes.
Thank you. He tried to come out and run track, and he's running so fast that he can't stop on a dime.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? That you're just defeating the purpose. You can run, but you can't stop. You may have straight forward speed, but you got to have football speed. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Look at Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice ran a 4.7, but when he got out of his cuts, he was 4.7. There's a lot of guys that run 4.3 that get out of their cut and they get out at 5.2. So that's the difference between having track speed and football speed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Willie Gault is a very underrated receiver.
Yes.
He went to Tennessee to play with the Bears. He was a track guy, but he learned how to play receiver.
Yep. There you go.
And that guy was like you. I mean, you had to learn how to play receiver, right?
That's beautiful, because when you say you learn how to play wide receiver, because in college and in high school, I got away with just running fast and jumping over people. But then when I got with Les Steckel, he taught me about how being a complete wide receiver. Let's start with the first phase, getting off the line of scrimmage, getting a guy off the spot, stacking it. Let's talk about the second phase, basing everything off the line. Then the last phase is what you do at the top of the route. Lie with your eyes, different stems, you know, beat me back to the sidelines, coming back to the football. All these things that I didn't learn until I got into college, and in the pros, and then I get into the league. That's why my game skyrocketed, because I understood it's not just about running fast. It's about understanding that being a wide receiver is a craft.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because you see the combine, like, this guy ran a 4.18 at the combine. Or, you know, when John Ross ran it from Washington, and the Bengals, like, I'm going to take him in the top 10, and he's terrible.
He's terrible.
Here's my thing. Can you run about a 4.7, 4.8, and then can you take a hit? If you can,
there you go.
All right, let's go. You're on my team.
Absolutely, you can take a hit, but also it's understanding how to create separation. Let me give you a perfect example. Just imagine if you have bracket coverage. You have one guy up top, one guy at the bottom. Who are you running the route off? You're running the guy off the guys on top. So learning those things, how to create separation, it's more than just running a go route, running a post route, because they're going to put a safety over top and stop that. That's why Jerry Rice and Derek Mason, all those guys, are so great at what they do, because they're a complete receiver.
Chris Sanders with us. Hey, enjoy tonight. I know playoffs are coming up, but last one of the regular season, and we'll make sure Big Joe behaves.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to kick him in the shin.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it. Love y'all, brothers. Bye-bye.
You too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. That sounds like most of our dates. After we talk to him.
Are you there? Hello?
Hello. We'll react to some of the things that Chris said, and also on the Titans. Vandy in Texas coming up this weekend. Tennessee, Oklahoma as well. Chase and Big Joe live at ML Rose here in Inglewood on 102.5 The Game.